As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
There's been one demand, and that's holding up that Lombardi trophy, period. That's all I care about, is holding that trophy up and holding that trophy up here.
The prime thing is you have to win. You have to win. Otherwise, you can't be a success in professional football.
You're listening to The State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to State of the Nation here on the Athletic Podcast Network, our post-game edition. The presenting sponsor for today's episode of State of the Nation is Visa, a network working for everyone. And on our Black Friday and Cyber Monday, you can get all of the Athletic's great writing and podcasts for just $1 a month for 12 months. Starting at 2 p.m. on Monday, you can go to theathletic.com/stateofthenation to lock in our very best price of the year. The offer ends at midnight on Monday, November 29th, just $1 a month for new subscribers. And you're going to want to subscribe to read everything about this game on Sunday. Man, just another just complete ugly performance, flat performance. Derek Carr, you know what? He was ready to acknowledge this one. This one was flat. 32-13 loss to the Bengals. A game that, you know, their defense kept in it for a while. And the offense just, this is a terrible offense right now. There's really no way of sugarcoating it. They look bad. They don't really have a receiving core to speak of. You know, and we know the elephant in the room is that they've looked really bad since having to release Henry Ruggs after his car accident. They did get Darren Waller more involved in this one, but they have zero identity on offense.
Yeah, this is really how I saw it playing out coming into it. I thought their defense would be able to play well enough to keep them in it. You know, until that fourth quarter, I would say the defense played pretty well. They did have some issues on third downs and just getting off the field, but you know, the offense, I just have zero confidence in that group right now. I mean, they couldn't run the ball, which has been an issue all year. Their receiving core just isn't the same. Even though Waller was still involved, he's still only one man. And, another issue is Carr has been turning the ball over. He had kind of avoided that early on in the season. And that was a big issue for him last year with all the lost fumbles. But really in the last few games, that's come up big for him. So not only has the offense, been ineffective when it comes to putting the points on the board, but now they're giving away possessions and putting their defense in disadvantageous situations. And so they're just in a real bad place on the side of the ball right now.
I agree.
Wonderful breakdown. That's Ted Nguyen quality research there.
If I had to add to it, I would just say that, Carl is obviously in a bad mood. He's kind of bitter afterwards. He mentioned how he's been a Raider fan for 20 years. He's fed up with it. And, they're flat and all this stuff. And he had a sarcastic remark, like, at least we can check the box by throwing the ball to Waller, which I guess was a shot at the media. But
he doesn't read. He doesn't read what you guys are writing, right? He doesn't pay attention to the outside noise. Come on.
I'll say they didn't throw the ball to Waller enough. He had four targets in the first three quarters, four catches, and the Bengals linebackers, and I watched him in the safeties they try to use and against him, they're not very good. I mean, there's no reason why he couldn't have a bigger day. I know they went to him that one drive where they had the three plays. It was like boom to Waller, boom to Waller, boom to the Moreau touchdown. Where is that earlier in the game? I know you look at different looks and you say you've got the right look in that moment, but I just think that you got to trust your star player more, and this offense is – they can't run the ball. They got to stop doing that. And their offensive line is just not built for it. I think John Gruden knew that early on. You can ask why they threw the ball 45 times a game the first three wins. I think you got to just force the ball to Waller and let him go. I don't think they finished with 7 catches and 8 targets. Not enough for this offense. He's the only guy right now that can beat people, whether he's double covered or, you know, bracket coverage, whatever. And it sounds like I'm, you know, maybe his agent, but I'm just saying from watching this team and his offense, to me, that's the only answer. I think the running game at this point is not going to happen. So I think you got to stop trying, forget about offensive balance, just throw the ball. If not, I'll say Thursday, cut it loose against the Cowboys, nothing to lose. And if you don't, if you can't, if the offense still stinks, then the fans will get their say. I think it's time for Marcus Mariota to step in there. So I think this is kind of like, for me at least, this is the last ditch effort coming on Thursday.
The offense is starting to see the effects of losing Gruden. And I know, like, you know, there's some fans that don't like his situational play calling, but, you know, Gruden was one of the better play designers, play callers in the league. I thought whenever I watched the game, I always thought, you know, 3-4 plays where I thought it was a really clever design, but I haven't seen any of that in the last few weeks. It just looks like they don't really have a great plan for how to attack certain styles of defenses. And I can't see all 22 from the TV copy, but, you know, from what I've seen, I just don't see a ton of guys open downfield. And part of that is because their receiving talent is, you know, has taken a big hit, but part of that is just play design as well. I just don't see these guys getting open. And, you know, when your only weapon really is Darren Waller, it's pretty tough. And one thing I think that they need to do more is play action. It feels like every time they do play action, they hit a pretty sizable gain from it, but they don't do it enough, especially early on. And it just allows linebackers to kind of tee off on the running game. And they don't block well enough, so they just need whatever help they can, and play action could help. But there's no identity. Receivers can't get open, and they're not getting a ton of help from play designs, and it's the result.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing I struggle with is that we can all acknowledge that losing Henry Ruggs on the field is a big loss for them. But, I mean, a couple months ago, we were talking about this receiving core as having some nice depth, as being good enough that a guy like John Brown says, no, I want out. I'm going to, you know, give me my release. I'll go somewhere else. And losing one guy can be big, obviously. But in the NFL, I mean, that happens. Injuries, whatever, different situations. And for them to go from us thinking that highly of the receiving group before Ruggs is cut to suddenly, like, Bryan Edwards disappears. Zay Jones has done nothing. You know, Hunter Renfrow makes his, you know, couple plays a game. But I mean, like, Hunter Renfrow, we all know he's a nice piece, but he's not a guy that can carry an offense. He can, you know, make some nice plays on third down in the red zone, all that, but he's not a guy that carries the offense. I mean, the fact that you have not seen Edwards and Jones be able to step up and kind of show anything is a bad sign to me. I mean, and especially Edwards. I mean, he's a guy that going into a second year, third round pick, we thought he could be a big piece for them. And this was his opportunity to show it. And in the last 3 weeks, he's not shown it.
Yeah, I would say Edwards surprised me a little bit just because, you know, he had been pretty effective early in his season. You know, he wasn't getting as many targets as the other guys. But, I mean, he was up there with Ruggs in terms of, you know, yards per catch average, you know, leading the league. I think he was top 5 at one point. And so you kind of would think with more volume would come more success, but really it hasn't for him. And so you kind of wonder a little bit, was some of his success a product of, you know, defenses not paying that much attention to him and leaving him in some more of those one-on-one situations. And maybe he's not seeing as much of that anymore now. And Zay Jones, like, you know, I mean, he's like an average NFL receiver. It's not wowing me that he's not, you know, going crazy with production. Hunter Renfrow, like you said, he's more of an underneath intermediate guy. He's not going to be killing guys deep down the field. But when it comes to DeSean Jackson, I think Versace said he played more snaps today, but it just doesn't seem like they're really getting him all that involved in the passing game. You would think with, you know, how Edwards and Jones are struggling, I mean, you might as well try it. You know, I mean, he can't be any worse than, you know, next to nothing, you know, what they've been getting out of their receiving core. So I wonder, you know, you figure 2 weeks in, a veteran guy like him, a guy who's been familiar with the system, like I wouldn't think like having a knowledge of the system would still be an issue for him at this point. So, you know, I don't think that will solve their problems by any means. I do agree with Vic, you know, leaning more into the tight ends, you know, Waller and Moreau's, you know, kind of should be the focal point of the passing game. But, I mean, at this point, you might as well throw Jackson out there and see if he can do a better job.
I was going to play late, I think it was the first half, where he had 1-on-1 covers on the outside, and they had a chance to take a shot with DeSean Jackson. They didn't do it. So, I mean, and Rich said that he's not involved in the two-minute offense because he doesn't know those plays quite yet, which I think is also, I mean, got to be one play you can give the guy on a two-man offense. I just think that you brought him in for a
run
reason.
Run fast, go straight.
Yeah, you brought him in for a reason. They haven't used that reason yet. And Edwards, I have to watch the film, but I don't know if the corner that he was that was on him did a great job. He had no targets today, which is definitely alarming. But I mean, listening to Sean and all our analysis, sounds like it's almost time for Dylan Stoner to get a shot.
I think part of the reason is, you know, these guys do have some skills, but they have very specific skill sets. Like, you know, they're not complete receivers. Brian Edwards is a jump ball type of big receiver, big body type of guy. Hunter Renfrow, we know what he does. He's not a guy that's going to get a bunch of explosive passes. And DeSean Jackson's a deep ball winner. So, you know, with those type of receivers, you need scheme to help them. You got to put them in the right situation. You got to find the right matchups. They're not guys where you just line them up against any corner and say, beat this, win this one-on-one. They're just not built like that. And right now, you know, they're not getting put in situations where their skill sets are being utilized correctly, I think. And, you know, it's not easy to do that. You know, it's not easy to scheme up things when your receiving talent is this limited. But at the same time, you know, I think we saw some of that with Gruden, and we're not seeing that right now.
Let's talk a little bit about Derek Carr. Vic, you referenced him, you know, kind of being pretty pissed off, not in a great mood. And quote from him after the game, you know, being a Raider fan for a long time, 20 years of this crap is enough. I'm fed up. I just want to be a part of the moment it changes. I want that so bad. And I think a lot of fans are going to read that quote, hear that quote, and kind of nod along with the fact that, yeah, you know, I've had enough of this crap. I've had enough of this 20 years. And then see the part about I want to be around for when this changes, be a part of this changing. They might put some correlation there. At this point, we all know it's a huge topic for this team going into the offseason. Do you commit to Derek Carr or do you move on? And the last three games are providing only points of evidence that it may be time to move on from Derek Carr. Certainly providing points of evidence that this whole coaching staff is likely to be gone. You know, after they won those first two games with Bisaccia, it was, hey, ride the momentum, get to the playoffs, keep him around maybe, or maybe Gus Bradley earns his way. What we're seeing right now on the field only points to the fact that this could be an off season where we see a lot of things blown up.
You know, in the first few games, we saw a different Derek Carr, a Derek Carr that looked like the type of quarterback that could lift up a team and elevate a team. And in the last few games, you know, I don't think he's been that bad. I just think that when I watch the games, I just don't see that many opportunities. But at the same time, you know, you expect an elite quarterback to kind of lift an offense up. And I just don't think he's that type of quarterback. But he's still in that kind of fringe top 10, outside of the top 10, tier two type of quarterback. But it's just if he's in a right situation, I think he could play really well. The Raiders don't have that situation to support him.
You know, right now, the offense, I would say, is more of a comprehensive failure than, you know, Carr all of a sudden playing terribly the last three games. But, you know, it's just kind of an example of, you know, the narrative that there is, you know, a ceiling when he's your quarterback, you know, if things aren't completely optimal around him. And, you know, even to start the year, they weren't optimal. But like, as you said, he was overcoming them. But it just wasn't something that was sustainable. We said that then. And obviously that's coming to fruition now. So things have changed. Of course, obviously, with Gruden and Ruggs no longer being around, that nobody could have really accounted for back then. But I think the same thing holds true. I've kind of viewed it, you know, whether you're looking at the coaching staff or Mike Mayock or Derek Carr, it's really just felt like a playoffs or bust year across the board. If you don't make it through, breakthrough in what would have been, you know, John Gruden's fourth year, it feels like there's some significant changes that need to be made. Obviously, it's a lot bigger change than we first saw coming into this year that will result from it. But I think you might as well hit the reset button if you don't. You know, if you aren't able to salvage the season and make it to the playoffs, I don't really see a point of running it back and keep kind of pounding your head against the wall when you've seen for quite a few seasons now that this isn't going to work.
I think there's still hope. I mean, I'm not ready. I know everyone's doom and gloom, and I usually end the way myself, but I think the defense showed enough again today. Like, definitely, I mean, that pass rush is legitimately a force. I think they kind of lead this team, and they were, you know, they played great. They got tired at the end because the time of possession was like 2-1. I think those last couple of scores were really based on the exhaustion, but I think the paramount was all over the place. The nice job of coverage of the DBs. I thought their defense is good enough where if the offense can get a little better, not quite to where they were, but just get a little better, they can still win some games. And this, the AFC is wide open. I mean, the Titans lost at home to the Texans. The Bills got blown out at home. I mean, I know it sounds like it's over, but at 5-5, they're still in this. They just got to, and there's still enough positive things going on defense where I think you just got to try some things, like I said, drastically and often. I think you got to stop running the ball. I think you got to take Carr and say, look, that touchdown drive where you threw the ball to Waller twice in a row, just do that. Like, do that until they stop it. Don't worry about something else. I just think, like, with him, it's always been a case of his confidence and his comfortable ability with guys, like with Crabtree. You see guys he trusts. And apparently, he doesn't have that trust with Edwards. That's not there, apparently. Like, I mean, for some reason – I mean, or else, like, again, Edwards got dominated today.
Until you get into overtime. If he gets into an overtime game, he suddenly trusts him.
Well, again, I don't know if the coverage today was great on him. I haven't watched that part of the film yet. But it just seems like, clearly, he has to have confidence in guys. He has to have time in the pocket to make plays and be that aggressive version of himself, which fans love when he's going great. And obviously, there's a dark side of Derek when he's not feeling that. You see the confidence take a hit, and then he's moping around and saying things in the press conference like he did today. So I just think that he was really good not too long ago. There should be enough weapons in this team with Waller and even Jacobs out of the backfield and Drake out of the backfield. Don't run the ball, but throw him the ball. If you go to a quick offense, just like a quick dink and dunk and get things going with the Renfro in his backs and just be completely a passing team if you were early on, I could still hope that they could turn around and still be a factor in the playoff race.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're around a 500 team and conference that looks the way it looks now. I mean, like, obviously they're not out of it yet. You're still on it, from a technical standpoint. You just kind of wonder with some of the issues with them being as consistent as we've seen so far, like, what's going to change, in terms of, running the game and being ineffective, the offensive line being kind of up and down, the receiving core not being that good. You know, I don't think they were ever, like, great on offense this season, but even, like, just being a solid or to good offense like they were early in the year, I don't know if they can even get back there. Obviously, matchups matter with what team you're going against, and all of that, but it's kind of hard to imagine the switch kind of flipping this late in the season.
And yeah, I mean, I agree that, like, hope is not, like, lost in terms of this being a playoff season, but I also kind of look at this from a big picture, long-term view. Is 9-8 in getting into the playoffs in a crappy conference? Okay, that's cool. You get to play in a playoff game. But, I mean, what's the long-term vision? What's the view here in terms of building yourselves in? They're not a contender. They're not going to go to the AFC title game. They're not going to make it to the Super Bowl. And I know the bar for the Raiders, just the bar that they've set over the years is, I guess, reasonably low because they've only had that one playoff appearance really in the last 20 years. But if you're building a team, you're trying to build a team that you think can win big, can be a consistent contender. And that's where I look at this team and say, like, even if they find a way to, get the offense back rolling a little bit, get to 9-8, and sneak into the playoffs, like, that's not enough for me to not want to blow it up, honestly. I mean, I said it last week that, I think no matter what, moving on from Bisaccia, moving on from this coaching staff is probably the thing to do. And this is more evidence that I say, like, no matter what happens, this team can make the playoffs, and I still don't think you should bring back this coaching staff.
I think the only argument maybe would be that, obviously, between Gruden resigning and the Ruggs situation and the Arnett situation, like, maybe they felt like they would have been that, contending type team. I mean, they were 3-0 at one point, they were 5-2 at one point. Like, if you do bring in a new coach, everything is, they're going to want to build the team in their image. There are going to be changes anyway. And so it's kind of hard to, there is no going back. They can't reset, go back to, how things were before. Even if it seemed like it was going to go well. And so it kind of puts them in a tricky in-between spot where if it does end up working out, they might be able to talk themselves into we were on a certain trajectory. This season should happen. Like, with running back next year, there is some room for that. I just don't know how, like, practical it would be in terms of the results moving forward.
I think the goal is to pair a quarterback with a play caller. And, you want that continuity and you want to have a good partnership in that area for a long time. And we started seeing a little bit of it with how Carr was playing early in the season, and it all kind of got wrecked. And I mean, if you're going to keep a coach long-term, I think Bradley is a guy that deserves it just because of how well I think the defense has been playing and especially how bad the defense has been. If we're talking long-term future, maybe you hire a offensive guy and, you keep Bradley around. But I agree. I don't see this interim staff being one that you can win with long term, unless they start playing at like a pretty absurdly high level, finish off the season. But just based on what we see, even if they do make the playoffs, they're probably just gonna like eke into it. And I just don't see how at this point you could say that this staff is going to be, you know, the long-term solution.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
My only hesitation, I mean, like I said, I've said a couple weeks now that I, you know, move on from this staff and all that. My one hesitation there, to play devil's advocate, is who has faith in the kind of coaching search that Mark Davis would run? Right? I mean, how in-depth have his coaching searches been?
You're saying they're doomed no matter what. No matter what happens, Raider fans, you are doomed. This year, long-term, new coach, old coach, it's, you're screwed. Forget about it.
Mark needs to have somebody that like is that can be respected, that can be trusted to kind of run that coaching search. And who is that? So like, I think they need a new coach. I think they need to turn it all over, find a new direction. But I have to admit that I don't have a whole lot of confidence in them properly being able to kind of find that new direction.
Do you think that the Raiders is an attractive job?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a brand new stadium in Las Vegas. You got a fan base that's fired up. I mean, there's some talent. I mean, the roster changes so much every year. And whoever it is, new or old coach has to decide, or new GM has to decide on Derek Carr's future. You got to pay him. He's got 1 year left on his deal. So that's for me, the first decision has to be made above anything else. Before the new coach, before the new GM, if that's a guy you're going to like tie yourself to for another 4 or 5 years and give him the whatever it costs now, $150-200 million it costs for, you know, top 15 quarterback. So that's why, you know, these last seven games are huge for him. So like I said, I go back to the AFC is ugly. So I don't mean, I still can't go to the Titans. Everyone thought they were the best team in the conference. They got blown out at home by Tyrod Taylor and the Texans. So that's much worse than this loss. I mean, so I still think, you know, it's a short week. Dallas is good, but you never know. I just think that they have a chance. The defense is good enough to give this team hope still. I hope, I mean, I'll write this. I hope Bisaccia and Greg Olsen don't just try and go back to the same thing. Hey, let's keep trying this and get the run game going. Look at balance. I mean, forget about balance. Balance is the old, outdated concept. Just to do what it takes to win the game. This team has to throw the ball because the offensive line is not good enough to run the ball against, you know, even decent, not great defenses, but even decent defenses stop this team and get past his offensive line. So they got to do something, not drastic, but they got to make some big changes for Thursday's game. Or if not, then I say, then you push through the red button and go to Mariota. Because I think, like, Deshaun and I, I'm kind of rambling, but Deshaun and I were talking after the game about, like, he's right, the whole offense is struggling. Not just Derek Carr, the whole offense is struggling. So, but how do you fix all of that? And maybe you can't. So you got to try. The only drastic measure that you can try a different offense, and he's shown last year against the Chargers, you can't provide a spark. So maybe you have to go that route because you can't fix the whole thing. You got to try, you know, certain things that may trigger a spark. So I think, to me at least, if they lose to the Cowboys on Thursday and the offense is still, you know, stagnant, it's time for a desperate measure.
You got to at least start using Mariota in the red zone, because the red zone offense has been so bad in the last few weeks that, you know, you got to try something else. And, you know, you have that Mariota package in. They've been working on it since the offseason. I guess we've talked about it a little too much, but maybe that will help spark your red zone offense a little bit. I also want to see a little more hurry up offense too. I mean, one of Carr's strengths is supposed to be his ability to read defenses. So let him get in a hurry up. That way defenses don't get a chance to get set and call all these exotic type of blitzes or whatever. Let them call some offense in the line of scrimmage and, you know, start changing the pace a little bit. And then maybe that will spark the offense. But just right now, what they're doing is just, it's not working.
We haven't talked much specifics about this game, but let's talk one of those is that the defense gets a turnover. Unique Ngakoue with the sack, forces the fumble. Dallin Leavitt, big play. Dallin Leavitt returns it to the 9. And it was almost like that screwed the Raiders because their red zone offense has been so terrible, one of the worst in the league. And the first time they get the ball, they're at the 9-yard line. They're straight in the red zone. And three terrible plays. Okay, we kick a field goal. We're up 3-0. Cool. And it's like a big play by your defense, a turnover. You get points on offense. You can't even be excited about it because it's you should feel deflated because it was you start your first drive after a turnover at the 9 yard line. You have to find a way to punch it in for a touchdown.
Yeah, as soon as that happened, I was like, oh, this is not good. It was just like a sign that the offense was still in this funk that they've fallen into for the past three games. And the defense gave them opportunity after opportunity, you know, particularly in the first half, to really take control of that game early and jump out to a big lead, which has been something that they've struggled to do so mightily throughout this entire season, and just keep falling into these early deficits and trying to fight uphill. And eventually, you know, that method's not going to work for you. And so, you know, again, we've said it over and over, you know, the defense, they did break down late in the game. You know, they're not absolved of blame for like the run defense collapsing and some of the terrible penalties that they had on third downs in particular. Unique Ngakoue had the roughing the passer early in the game. Quentin Jefferson jumped off sides that led to another score. They had a couple of defensive pass interference down the field. So the defense made their fair share of mistakes as well. But I think just the root of all that this team struggles is just all circles back to the offense, just going from being a pretty solid unit to being one that's inept, you know, pretty much no matter who they're going against. You know, you got to give credit to the teams they've gone against, obviously the Giants, the Chiefs, and the Bengals. But I wouldn't say any of those defenses are like just the most incredible defense in the league that you should struggle so mightily against. And they look pretty pathetic against all of them. And so you have to wonder moving forward, their schedule looking how it's looking. It would take a pretty drastic turnaround for this offense to get things going.
To me, the worst part about that first possession was not that they didn't get a touchdown, but they didn't even try. They didn't take any shots in the end zone. The play calling, for some reason, that is Peyton Barber like a red zone specialist? And I hear the first carry of the game, 3 yards. They threw one to the left to Waller, and then threw incomplete to Jacobs. All again, a sideways pass. And just too many sideways passes. I mean, they came out tight against the Chiefs. I thought they came out tight today. Derrickson flat, but they got to be in attack mode. They got to, like, I just don't know. The offense just has to be more aggressive. I don't know if that's on Derek or on Olsen or Bisaccia, but they have to do something, like I said, a little drastic to get this going, because the same old, you know, we practice well and we look good in practice, and it's not working. You got to change the script, because obviously they're in a rut and whatever they're doing is not working.
Come on, Vic. Win, lose, or draw. Those guys are showing up they're showing up the next day at the facility, and they're getting
those
their
things
treatment.
Kill me
they're working
it's like,
hard. Come on, man. They're working hard. Win, like, lose, or draw.
It's like, what else are they gonna do? Are they gonna not come to the building? Are they just gonna stay at home?
And if I write a bad story, if I do a bad podcast, I'm just dialing it in for the next week or so. I'm just not doing anything.
I guess you had guys on last year's team getting like French toast in the morning instead of going to practice and not going to weight room. Like, I don't know what they're doing last year, but I just love that every year they blame the last year. Like, oh, last year's guys were freaking lazy. Yeah, but again, I mean, I think, you know, they've shown that they have better leadership this year. Again, I think the defense, every week they show up. So I think the offensive problems. And again, at some point you hope that, you know, the blame game doesn't start where the defense is like, hey, man, the offense, you guys are killing us. And you start to fracture your team a little bit. So far it hasn't. But you wonder if this keeps up. At some point, the defense is playing well enough they should win these games. So, you know, so I just think, at least on their part, the leadership and the work ethic has definitely paid off.
All right, one other game specific I want to talk about before we start to get out of here is, you know, Vic, I know you were talking to some of the guys about it. 3rd and 6. And Derek Carr, who checks into a run play, and you could see him, like, he calls the check, and then he kind of, you know, says something to Darren Waller, and you see Darren Waller kind of from off in that wing, all right, kind of repositions himself. I'm not going to try to read too much into, like, the body language that I see on TV, but I could almost feel an eye roll in Darren Waller's head as he repositioned, knowing that there was checked into a run play. And it was a run play that went nowhere, and a just completely useless 3rd and 6 play that leads to another punt. And they don't lose the game because of one play, because of one audible, but it was overall, it was a questionable offensive game plan day, and that was one that stood out.
Well, I asked Derek about it. He said they've done it before at times, and it's worked. So I need Ted to go back and research all the films for 3rd and 6 runs that worked. But he says, obviously, it looks bad when it doesn't work. He said that was close to being a big play. And I think he also said that those are the kind of plays where John will tell him, hey, man, just do it. And if you get booed out, the boos are on me, not you. So they want Derek to read the things and make changes.
So boo John Gruden for that play. Boo John Gruden from his house.
It's not a high percentage play call regardless, but if you're a team that can't run the ball, a 3rd and 6 run play seems awfully ambitious. So I just think there are a lot of bad signs in this game, a lot of bad, you know, moments like, ooh, this team is not – is not fixed what needs to be fixed. And that was definitely one of those moments where you're like, this is not going to end well today.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel like they have much confidence on offense right now. I mean, getting that you're at the 9-yard line and you're throwing like horizontal swing passes, third and six, you're running the ball. It's like they're just really tight, and like safe and scared to make mistakes. And it's ironic because they're making way more mistakes. Like they have 7 turnovers since the bye. They only had five turnovers before the bye. It's almost like they're, I won't say they're playing scared, but it's just like they lack confidence out there.
Going back to the run call, I think what he's talking about, you know, we've seen a few third downs in the past where they would do like a toss to Jalen Richard or something and it would go for like a big touchdown. So I think that's what he's talking about when it's worked in the past. And usually when those calls are made is because like coaches are telling the quarterbacks, if we see this look, we want to check into this run because we think that it could pop. And that's probably what happened. And it obviously didn't pop. So yeah, it looks really bad. So I wouldn't put that call directly on Carr. I'm assuming that's a game plan thing. But yeah, like you guys said, if you guys can't run block, then you have to not just take into account the look the defense is giving you. You got to give, you know, take into account the type of personnel you have. So that's just another example of just questionable game plan type of things that, you know, I don't know can be fixed this year.
I mean, even on some of the third and one today, it seemed like, you know, it seems like a mile long yard. So imagine third and six. They probably average, 3.5 yards a carry? That's a lot to ask for a team averaging 3.5 yards a carry to get 6. So I just think, again, they have to really take a step back, look at themselves. Like they always say in bye week, you know, self-analyze and, you know, be harsh on yourself. And they need to go in tonight. If they meet tonight with Bisaccia and the offensive guys, look, we can't run the ball. Let's forget about it. We're not even going to try anymore. Josh Jacobs is now, he's a receiver. And Kenyon Drake's a receiver. We're going to go 5 wide. You know, like you said, up the tempo, no huddle. And they got to do something. They can't bring the same mess out here again on Thursday.
And if you're going to run a fly sweep, don't give it to Bryan Edwards. That's not the guy to give it to. You want a guy that runs under, you know, you want a guy that runs 4.3 or something like that. Running a
like Renfro? Week. You want Renfro to get it instead?
They had a quota. Every receiver was supposed to get, you know, an end around, a fly sweep. Zay Jones was probably mad. He was like the only receiver. Well, I guess Dylan Stone or two. But Zay was like the only receiver that didn't get his chance to get a carry.
So the receivers had three carries and 6 catches in the day. That's a pretty crazy stat. How about that?
Oh, boy. We've got to talk briefly about the Cowboys game on Thursday. We will not have a show. Obviously, normally we record our shows every week on Thursday, and Thursday is Thanksgiving. The Raiders will be playing. So this serves as our mini preview for Raiders-Cowboys on Thanksgiving. Raiders are 7-point underdogs on the early line, despite the fact that the Cowboys lost today, did not look great in their loss to the Chiefs. They're going to be the number one seed in the AFC by the end of this whole thing, the way the AFC is so muddled and they're starting to pick it up. And the Cowboys will not have Amari Cooper, who's on the reserve COVID-19 list, and figure that they will not have their other top receiver, CeeDee Lamb, who suffered a concussion on Sunday, and likely that should keep him out. Don't expect him to be able to get clear by Thursday. So they will not have two of their top receivers, and yet they are 7-point under. They are 7-point favorites against the Raiders. On a short week, it's a tough game, you know, to go play, you know, in front of all the bright lights of a Thanksgiving game in Dallas.
Yeah, I'll tell you guys right now. We usually get our experts' picks. We got to make them Tuesday. I will be picking the Cowboys. I just feel like in a short week, the way that the offense has looked, going against a substantially better team on the road, and even with the receivers being out, I mean, the Cowboys have been one of the most effective teams when efficiency-wise when it comes to running the ball. They get creative with their personnel packages. Kellen Moore. The Raiders have been terrible at stopping the run. The Bengals just did it, dominating the time of possession. Even if the Cowboys' passing game isn't what it's been, I just see them, all right, we're just going to run it down your throats and control the clock and do the same thing that the Bengals just did, essentially. It's kind of tough to see the Raiders pulling this one out. The Cowboys losing to the Broncos a couple weeks ago did kind of give me a little cause for pause to see how they played out, but I'm just not too confident in this Raiders offense right now.
And Vic Fangio really puffed up his chest after that one, like he had solved the Cowboys, and he was so proud of himself, and he I think he elevated himself on the All Vic rankings, right?
I mean, think about it. The AFC West owns the Cowboys, so
and the Chargers lost to them 3-1. So you're picking the Raiders.
Picking the Raiders to cover the spread. They're going to lose by less than 7.
With this shit. Who's winning the game?
I'm in Vegas. I'm talking about the spread. Wins and losses are secondary. It's all about the spread. No, I think they're going to lose the game, but I do think they'll be close. I think if you're the Cowboys, you got, you know, short week. You got the Thanksgiving meal and night with the family. You got to push them back to nighttime. Look at the Raiders tape. You're not worried about the Raiders. They'll be overconfident. You mentioned they only have their two top receivers. That's a big factor. So I think the Raiders will have a shot. I think they'll have a shot to win the game. Actually, they can't pull it off, I don't think. But I think it'll be a close game.
So they're going to be like Denzel Perryman tonight. They're going to be talking about their dinner reservations after the game?
Exactly. I think
I wonder where he was going. Where his dinner reservation was tonight.
You can't watch the film of this Raiders team the last few weeks and be all worried. You can't be like, oh, we got to really – you're like, these guys stink. So I can't imagine the Cowboys would be too worried about him. So I think if the Raiders make some changes in the offense, the defense is good enough to keep them in game. So I think it'll be a close game.
I'm going 28-14 Cowboys.
Not doing
it. No analysis needed. 28-14 Cowboys. No confidence in this Raiders offense right now.
I just picked the Raiders to win. It's outright.
Is it going to be one of your upset specials, Vic? How are the picks going for you this year, Vic? Do you want to talk about the last week you went 0-5 right in your pick 5. Those are his pick 5 picks. Those are like the 5 that got the most confidence in.
Over Vic went 0-5.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, man. Like I said, it's a tough year, man. Who picks the Texans over the Titans? Well, actually, I did today. I picked the Texans to cover the spread. So it's a tough season, man. I just think it all depends. If I had any confidence that the staff could make some changes by Thursday, like the big changes, then I would actually pick the Raiders, but I don't have that confidence. I don't know. It's definitely got to be concerning for Mark Davis as far as Bisacci's future. When you look at this team, like Derek Carr said, they were flat. I said they're tight, but the last 2 weeks they have not looked prepared to come out and win the game, which I think is very alarming. So that's why I will not be picking him to win the game Thursday, but I will pick him to cover the spread.
All right, Ted, you got to bring us home with your prediction. We need research. What research have you done to help deliver this prediction?
Unfortunately, no research done quite yet. But
can we get turkey legs consumed to Cleveland Furl sacks? What's the ratio there?
I'm gonna have to look this up afterwards. But the turkey leg thing could be legit. I told myself I'm never picking the Raiders, at least this season, to beat a team with a winning record if they lose to the Bengals. So I have to stick to my promise. And yeah, I just don't see them being able to do some sort of offensive upheaval in 4 days. So I think the Cowboys are going to come in banged up. So I don't think they score over 30 points, but I could see them scoring 27 and Raiders scoring 14. So 27-14.
All right, you went 1 point under. I went the 28-14. You got the 27-14. So that's going to be big. It's going to come down to that PAT in the fourth quarter to decide which one of us nails the pick. But all right, guys, that'll wrap up our post-game edition of State of the Nation and our preview of the Cowboys game on Thanksgiving. Vic and Tashawn get to enjoy Jerry Jones's spread on Thursday, and hopefully, I think he always puts out a nice spread for you better than what Will Kiss is hooking you up with over there at the Raiders. But all right, we'll be back on Thursday. I think our episode will post on Friday morning to talk about the Raiders taking on the Cowboys. And in honor of Black Friday and Cyber Monday, you can get all of The Athletic's great writing and podcast for just $1 a month for 12 months. Starting at 2 p.m. on Monday, you can go to theathletic.com/stateofthenation to lock in our very best price of the year. The offer ends at midnight on Monday, November 29th. Just $1 a month for new subscribers. You can read all of Ted Wynn's research, all of Vic's phenomenal picks as he will help make you money, and all of Tashawn's great writing.
Jimmy's back to podcasting drunk.
We're having fun here, but no, we can read all of our, check out all the great coverage, all the podcasts, all the writing, everything, and we'll be back after the Raiders take on the Dallas Cowboys.
Talk to you guys later.
Happy Thanksgiving. I think there's a little bit of a warm sensation on his bum right now, probably, I think. Yeah.
Hey, hey!
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.